WNYC is supported by Miller Theater, continuing its Composer Portrait Series with the music of George Lewis. Saturday, November 12th, the International Contemporary Ensemble performs new music influenced by hip-hop, computers, spoken word, including a world premiere. MillerTheater.com.
Hi, this is John Schaefer. You're listening to WNYC On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads available when you want at WNYC.org and iTunes. Let's get physical, but don't hurt yourself. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, our series continues with a look at injuries that affect artists. Plus, composer David Lang has run 25 marathons, by which I mean he's organized 25 years of music marathons with the group known as Bang on a Can. He'll join us for a look back. Also on the show, Youssou N'Dour's bid for the presidency in Senegal. But we begin with the musician as athlete. Just like runners and swimmers, musicians suffer from performance injuries, particularly those caused by repetitive motion. Some artists even need to seek out help from a physical therapist for training, prevention, and advice. Someone like Katie Keller. She's clinical director of physical therapy at the Juilliard School and joins us in the studio today. Katie, welcome to Soundcheck.
Very glad to be here.
First of all, you're director of physical therapy at Juilliard? Has it gotten to this point? Is it so epidemic that even a school has to have someone there to deal with this problem?
I think Juilliard has an admirable commitment to wellness, and they're probably unique in all these conservatory settings in having in-house physical therapists.
So is the idea that you can get to these kids before they develop bad habits, either in terms of posture or how they practice or things like that?
We really encourage the students to come to us early on before some of these severe and scary symptoms set in. And by that, I mean when an injury is severe, a student or a performer can begin to experience nerve-related symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
This can be a feeling of clumsiness or weakness. Some students will describe this as a wooden, heavy feeling or cold hands. And that is a serious symptom that may take a very long time to reverse. So we want to intervene early on.
All right, there's an old Dire Straits song where, you know, he sings about, you know, he's looking at the musicians on the television and saying, maybe you get a blister on your finger, maybe you get a blister on your thumb. You're saying there is the potential among musicians for some really pretty severe neurological damage.
Yes. What happens, and this is called multiple crush, is the muscle imbalances that will develop in playing an instrument, because these are not perfectly symmetrical postures, as we all know. Over time, these muscle imbalances, and they're very characteristic to each instrument, will in turn start to pull on the anatomical structure.
You know, it's always, I mean, I watch violinists, Western violinists, because in other parts of the world they hold the instrument differently. But you got this thing tucked under your chin your shoulder.
Yes.
I mean, it just looks so unnatural. It's, you know, you'll see like veteran violinists not even hold the instrument. You know, they're just like they've got the shoulder cocked and the instrument is stuck
under there. Absolutely right.
So people, does that cause problems?
The violinists, the string players, are probably the students that come to us most in the Juilliard setting. And people always think, oh, it must be the dancers who come to physical therapy. And indeed they do. But they have the advantage in every class of doing everything to one side, immediately followed by doing it to the other side.
Mm.
Whereas, as we know, the string players play in a very asymmetrical fashion. And so if you imagine years of shortening of the lateral neck muscles, especially the scalene muscles on the left side of the neck, are gradually, because they attach to bones, the clavicle, which is the collarbone and the first rib, they'll begin to draw these structures upward on the left side. And underlying there is this amazing tunnel. It's called the thoracic outlet. And the nerve bundles and the blood vessels run through there.
Mm-hmm.
And if these bones and supporting muscles begin to compress on those structures, then the symptoms are going to be down the arm and into the hand. So coldness in the hand can come all the way from the neck.
So we've actually seen major league pitchers, having sort of similar problems with that tunnel that you're talking
that
about.
That tunnel,
through,
yes.
Through
that traffic jam through the tunnel.
So the idea of musicians as athletes, as the great pianist Leon Fleischer has referred to them, they are small muscle athletes. So to just stick with the violin for the moment, we've seen violinists like Peter Ungen, who for many years was first violin of the Tokyo String Quartet, eventually had to give up the violin entirely, and lately, you know, in recent years has been a conductor of some note. But that was a repetitive stress injury as a result of playing the violin, right?
The body can withstand a tremendous amount of repetition. So it's maybe overused to say that it's the repetition directly that causes injury. It's the repetition in a malaligned posture. Mm. So one of the basic tenets that I try to convey to all the students and all the musicians that come see us is the importance of ease of movement and efficiency, what we call scapulothoracic biomechanics, which is a simple way of saying that the arms need to be lifted from the back.
That was simple?
Well, the idea behind the biomechanics, scapulothoracic is the shoulder blade on the trunk. So
okay.
All...
See, that's simple.
That's
shoulder
simple.
Blade is simple. That
shoulder blade on the trunk. All instruments have to be supported from the back. And teachers say this in a million ways. Don't play the piano from your wrists. Hold underneath the violin. But really, all the focus is on the front of the body. And everything you play is in front of you. You never have the opportunity to think about your back.
So we're talking about musicians as athletes. They are, they are, like any other form of athlete, subject to various strains and stresses. And in the case of the violinist Peter Ungen, whom you're hearing now with the Tokyo String Quartet, he eventually had to give up playing the violin. Bit of Franz Schubert's String Quartet, Death and the Maiden, played here by the old Tokyo String Quartet. The personnel back in the time of this recording included Peter Ungen playing first violin. In recent years, he has been much better known as a conductor, having given up the violin after a repetitive stress injury, the type of injury that Katie Keller hopes to avoid with a lot of the students at the Juilliard School, where she is clinical director of physical therapy. You mentioned, Katie, the importance of a kind of ease and efficiency of movement. There are various things I've heard classical musicians especially talk about over the years. One of them is Alexander technique. What is that?
Alexander technique is incredibly valuable. And in fact, students can sign up for this as one of the courses in their curriculum because it teaches ease of movement. So stacking up all the segments of the body so that there's no strain in the positioning. And this is something that we use in many ways in physical therapy so that the student or the professional can learn to lift their arms with some awareness of the counterbalancing that's happening in the back. It's very much like a crane lifting a heavy weight. It'll fall forward and start to drag everything forward with it if it's not counterbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
So when a musician, let's say a pianist, is hunkered down and focusing and compressing their body, it's almost as if the shoulder blades are being pulled forward and create a lid. If you're sitting there and you're hunched down and you try and lift your arm, you're going to feel there's a blockage or a lack of ease. Whereas if the shoulder blades are down, the arm can almost float up and then use gravity to drop.
So it sounds like what you're saying right now specifically can be seen most easily in pianists because, there are times you see a pianist at the keyboard and they just look completely at ease. It's effortless. There are other pianists who are, as you say, they're hunkered down close to the keyboard and they look like they're really, really working
hard. And the audience is almost feeling the strain where you're not going to be transported in the same way.
Well,
so
it can be very dramatic.
It can be very dramatic.
Do you, as a physical therapist, cringe when you see somebody at the piano in that kind of posture?
Yes. In fact, it's very hard for me to listen. I'm really looking at the mechanics. That's what fascinates me in going to performances. I came from this with a dance background. So my knowledge of music is from the great ballets, the Tchaikovskys and the Stravinskys and the Debussys. And perhaps my favorite composer would be Philip Glass, the repetitive minimalist motion. Mm-hmm. But I translate this from my experience in dance to the musician. It's very similar. The kind of angulations that happen at the elbow and the wrist and the zigzagging that really cause friction on nerves. So the problems aren't local. Pianists aren't injured in their hands. They're injured from the overall posture. And posture is a dynamic concept. It's not a rigid, you know, militaristic holding of the back. It's mm-hmm. really about movement dynamics.
Now, we've talked a little bit about, you know, pianists as and other musicians as, quote, unquote, small muscle athletes. That is a term that I appropriated from the pianist Leon Fleischer.
Uh-huh. Small muscle athlete.
Yeah, which he describes as not only pianists and violinists, but dentists and surgeons, mm-hmm. anyone whose mm-hmm. job requires that kind of
meat
fine
packers,
motor.
You name it, yes.
Okay.
Journalists. We worked a lot with journalists. I'll get back to that in a mm-hmm. moment. But in order for that fine motor dexterity, musicians in particular need to strengthen the larger muscle groups. It's very popular now to talk about core muscles of the abdomen with Pilates and working in perhaps a gym to strengthen the back. Now, keep in mind, you never want to use handheld weights or put a lot of pressure on the wrists, as might happen in yoga. What you're trying to do...
If you're a musician.
If you're a musician, yes. Be very cautious of weight bearing on the hands and doing heavy weights or heavy lifting. However, a strong back is going to be able to support the arms and give you the endurance for what you're referring to as this fine motor athlete.
See, so Leon Fleischer, I mentioned, you know, who sort of coined this term, the small muscle athlete, spent a couple of decades playing only piano music with his left hand. There is a repertoire of music for the left hand only because his right hand was basically crippled. It was eventually, after many long years, and it's a long and really dramatic story, was diagnosed with what they call focal dystonia, which
yes.
is...
Yes, which is the most devastating injury. And I have seen this extremely rarely, and maybe in my 15 years at Juilliard, in two musicians. And mm-hmm. actually, both of them had been Russian trained, strong, stocky men, shorter neck, shorter arms. And to look at them, when they stood there, their fingers were literally curled and their arms hanging by their sides did not hang straight, which gives you a clue at how tight the volar tissues of the arms had become.
Well, but Leon Fleischer eventually, once he got the diagnosis and knew what he was dealing with, got to a point where he was able to resume playing with both hands occasionally. This is Leon Fleischer playing Prokofiev's concerto for the piano left hand with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Pianist Leon Fleischer playing Prokofiev's concerto for piano left hand. If you're wondering why there are pieces for left-handed pianists, it's because the great pianist Paul Wittgenstein, who was related to the philosopher Ludwig, brother or cousin or something, lost an arm in World War I and didn't want to stop playing. So people like Prokofiev and Ravel and others wrote pieces for him. Leon Fleischer still has his right arm and his right hand and can occasionally perform with both hands through a combination of kind of deep tissue, sort of Rolfing stuff, and Botox injections. As he likes to joke, he has the smoothest forearm in classical music. Soundcheck listeners, Katie Keller's with us. She is clinical director of physical therapy at the Juilliard School. Are you a musician or an artist? How have you suffered for your art? Do you have a performance injury, or have you had one in the past? What happened? How did it affect the way you play, the way you dance, the way you paint? You can give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or leave a comment on our webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Comments already coming in, so into the control room we go. Joel Meyer, what you got?
John, you and Katie were making comparisons earlier to athletes. Well, our listener Maria from Brooklyn gives us some stats. She writes, I'm a 125-pound, 5'4" woman who plays primarily baritone saxophone.
Which is also 5'4" and 120 pounds.
She writes, I use a body harness, not a neck strap, but I find that it still causes a lot of shoulder and neck problems. Yoga and staying in shape and working out helps, but it's just really a big and heavy instrument to play. Katie, is there anything that Maria can do?
Short of switching to the sopranino saxophone.
Almost all the brass players are going to complain of neck problems and mid-back problems, because in lifting that heavy instrument, what happens is you fulcrum or you hinge from the middle of your back. So there's a sharp inclination there. And one thing that's so important is to take frequent enough rest breaks. I can't say this enough. That's the number one injury prevention method. Years ago, when I worked at the Miller Institute, we saw a lot of journalists who work at the computer keyboard for hours develop repetitive strain. And what they found is that those journalists who smoked had the fewest injuries, which is not to say that cigarettes aren't completely hazardous to your health. But what happened is that these journalists got up, left the building, chatted with colleagues, and had a cigarette break. So breaks are really important. And what should you do on this break? Put down your instrument. And if you can, if space permits, lie on the floor in what I call the crucifix position. Mm-hmm. So your arms are open as if you're on the cross and your knees are bent. And by lying on your back, this allows you to reduce the effect of gravity so that your head can align with your spine. And with your arms open, you're stretching out across the chest and letting your head basically retract so it's in line with your spine, because the weight of your saxophone starts to shear your neck forward. Mm. And as that neck's pulled forward, it's going to pinch on nerves, and you're going to start to feel that your arms get tired more quickly over time. More rest breaks.
So you find this sort of problem, especially with brass players?
Yes.
The larger saxes, the trombone, tuba, I would
trumpet.
Assume.
I have a French horn player also who her posture requires a little rotation to the right, and the right shoulder's in a very different place than the left. And this doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with your technique or anything wrong with these asymmetries in playing. What we're talking about is counteracting them. Mm-hmm. If you want to prevent injury, you have to do something that takes you out of the position of play. Most instrumentalists start looking like their instruments. I think people can recognize what someone plays across a crowded room by their posture. Are they rotated right? Is their neck bent left? Is their mm-hmm. left elbow bent?
Well, a trumpeter can usually distinguish a spot another trumpeter
yes.
a half a room away yeah. because of the
lips.
Lip.
Yes.
Now, a couple of years back in 2006, Wynton Marsalis, the noted jazz trumpeter, Jazz at Lincoln
Center.
Who works
tremendously with the Juilliard program.
Right. Had to, cancel all of his live gigs because of a problem with, not with the back or the shoulders or holding up, but with the lip.
Yes.
So for brass players where the embouchure is such a crucial part of getting your instrument to sound, you have problems there as well.
Yes, and some of this has to do with overscheduling and overcommitment, because truly the body can only take so much. And temperature variations and maintaining a lubrication of the lip with non-petroleum-based products. However, someone like Wynton Marsalis is in such great demand, saying no becomes an impossibility. And
well,
performers
for a Juilliard
and jazz,
student,
yes,
you don't
absolutely.
Want to be saying no when your teacher says,
absolutely.
Here's an opportunity for you, you know?
And that's actually what the president of the school talked about. Take advantage of all the opportunities before you. But it really comes to the P of practice habits and pacing. You have to look at your whole schedule, not just for the hour of practice or the day or the week or the month, but the whole year. Try and get a balance
and
there.
And there are four P's, right?
Four P's.
You got to pace yourself.
You have to pace yourself, which
practice
means
habits.
Practice habits, preventive exercise, and posture.
Posture.
So we
okay.
talked about posture as the dynamics, not the static, rigid, militaristic mm-hmm. posture. Preventive exercise is this idea of counteracting the muscle imbalances and strengthening the large muscle groups.
And even, as you said before, the lying on the floor, arms outstretched.
Lying on the floor
just giving
possible.
Your spine a chance to
yes.
align. And
or even for these jazz musicians, maybe they're playing two sets late at night. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to go lying on the floor, perhaps. But there are some very simple things you can do, such as sitting in the chair and just rolling down to let your back round forward when you've been arching back for the last hour.
All right. Let's take some calls. Our number is 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Catherine's on the line with us from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Catherine, I understand you're a massage therapist. That's kind of an art form, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is, actually. I've been performing massage therapy for about 12 years, and I see about 6 clients a day, 6 days a week. So I do use my body as an instrument, actually. And many of my clients are musicians or other artists that have repetitive strain injuries. And to avoid that for myself, for massage therapy, it's important that we use our body weight to transfer pressure into the clients that we're working with rather than using our small muscles in our hands or our forearms to apply the techniques that we're using to prevent that injury in our own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So you make a very good point that you're using efficient body mechanics and the lean of your body and the weight. People ask me, don't you get tired in your fingers? No, because I'm leaning forward just like a musician will do in hinging forward over the piano so that their arms aren't reaching out of the socket.
So is correct technique for a pianist similar to what Catherine was just saying is correct technique for a massage therapist?
You in want a the... very general way, good body mechanics is critical. Massage is such a valuable therapy for the musicians. I really support it, but it has to be very specific.
Okay. Chloe is on the line with us from right here in New York, and Chloe is the granddaughter of Sir Charles McCarris, the noted conductor. Chloe, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Hello.
So do you have your own experience with a kind of performance-related injury or something
well,
from your family?
I was just going to tell you his experience, which was that he, from conducting, not even from playing an instrument, damaged the rotator cuffs in his shoulder so badly that he had to have an operation, which is the same as the operation that great tennis players have to play, because mm-hmm. he said that conducting an opera was the same as doing a 5-set tennis match.
Well, and I've also heard that, you know, one of the reasons conductors and violinists
yes.
tend to live longer is that kind of motion of the arms above the heart is really excellent cardio. But
very interesting point.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, it sounds plausible. But the other side of it is what Chloe was just saying is you're susceptible to the same kind of injuries as tennis players, baseball pitchers, football quarterbacks, etc.
Yes. Hugo Fiorato, our noted conductor at the New York City Ballet, suffered from a rotator cuff injury. Extremely common in conductors because, as you say, the arms are lifted. And if you're also leaning forward and the pit is poorly lit and the score is faded and you're straining, you're going to have a more rounded posture. You can't lift your arms up against the buttress of a closed shoulder joint. So here again, postural mechanics help a lot.
So again, when you're watching a conductor,
yeah.
whether it's Alan Gilbert in front of the New York Phil or James Levine at the Met when he's there, I mean, are you watching and saying, no, don't do that.
Don't do that. Oh, my God, your poor back. Or
Katie Keller is a physical therapy consultant and clinical director of physical therapy at the Juilliard School. And in our series this week, Let's Get Physical, we've been talking today about some of the possibility of injuries, and even more important, preventing injuries for performing artists. The English guitarist Robert Fripp, when he did his crafty guitar seminars, would actually start with a couple of days of just having his guitarists sit with the guitar. That kind of balancing and posturing thing, Katie, that you've been talking about. That is the way all of these guys and gals started. And here is the result. Robert Fripp and the League of Crafty Guitarists. Coming up next, one of the biggest stars in world music is set to run for president in Senegal. We'll talk with a reporter about the candidate named Youssou N'Dour. And later, composer David Lang joins us to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the new music organization known as Bang on a Can. This is Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to WNYC On Demand. Please check out our other programs at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This free service is made possible by our listeners. Become a member of WNYC today.